Good evening. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we're thankful that you are the God of Jacob. And as we start this portion of your word in Genesis and the eventful life of Jacob, we thank you for the way in which you've revealed yourself in his life, in his walk of faith. And we thank you for the way in which you reveal yourself in ours as a God of grace who is persistent with us, who is always infinitely better than what we deserve for us. And so we pray that you'd help us to walk by faith. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. It's a long chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter. But I'm only going to preach on half of it. The first half. So Genesis 27. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat so that my soul may bless you before I die." Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Jacob answered his mother, Rebekah, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me. Then I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread which she had made to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Get up, please sit and eat of my game that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him and he ate. He also brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow low down to you. Cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you." Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he that then hunted game and brought it to me, so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him?" "Yes, and he shall be blessed." When Isaac heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Then he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? But Isaac replied to Esau, behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you, what can I do, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. And it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. So Isaac bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob. Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these, from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? We're continuing our series. God's faithfulness continues to Isaac and Jacob. And here the spotlight shifts from Isaac to Jacob. And so here we get introduced to Jacob in earnest. We've seen him a few times in a previous chapter. But here Jacob receives God's blessing in spite of himself when he least deserves it. And that's going to be a good introduction to Jacob's character and the story of Jacob as he goes further. Jacob uses the instrument of base deception, lying, dishonoring his father. He goes to great lengths and takes great risks to steal what belongs to him anyway. And so he uses this instead of faith. God uses Jacob's foolishness to bless him anyway. So you see here, one, how far God's grace extends, and then two, how much Jacob has to learn before God really makes him a man of faith. And that's going to take the rest of the series for us, but God is going to prevail with him. God chose him, Jacob, in spite of himself, and so God is going to prevail over him, to conquer him, and to bless him. And that's the Lord's way with us too, or else there's no hope at all for us. We're all Jacob in the sense that we'd rather use our own torturous, twisting plans than simply trust in the Lord, even when his goodness is staring us in the face and when God is determined to bless us. It's an appropriate Mother's Day message, strangely, in this passage, I guess in a weird way, because most of the deception and the chicanery in this passage comes from the mother, from Rebekah, who's the prime manipulator. At birth, Rebekah was told this message about her twins, chapter 25, verse 22. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. The older, the firstborn, is going to serve the younger, and so the younger is going to prevail. That was the Lord's plan. Paul refers to it, Romans chapter 9, and 9. And verse 10, and not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not yet done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. The younger is going to prevail. I'm not sure how widely Rebekah made that known. Both those passages say it was told to her And so she was the one, it may have been like Mary, she treasured these things up in her heart about her children and didn't tell anyone. I'm not sure how well it was understood. It's kind of a cryptic saying about the older serving the younger. They could have thought it would refer to the far distant future and not to their boys, Esau and Jacob. And I'm not sure how much it was remembered. It was certainly in the past at the birth. It's not really mentioned here in this passage, and so it's not really Rachel trying to bring about this message from the Lord that she had heard, maybe partially understood. It seems more, as you read the story, it seems really more about her obsession in promoting Jacob to get the blessing by any means because of her favoritism for Jacob. And we got that in one of the previous passages that Isaac loved Esau, and Rachel loved Jacob. And so there was a split in this family according to those favoritisms. So tonight we'll have Isaac steals the blessing, and it develops like a caper, like a theft. And so that's how I put for the outline. First, the opportunity for the theft, verses 1 through 4, where a very narrow window is presented for Rebecca and for Jacob to act. Second, the planning for the theft, verse 5 to 17, it's quite elaborate, as you'll see. And then the third is the execution of the theft, that's verse 18 to 29, and it's quite brash and daring, and we'll see that, and then we'll stop in the middle of the chapter. So first, the opportunity for the theft, verses 1 through 4. It came about when Isaac was old, and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son," he said to him, "here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I'm old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me and prepare a savory dish for me that I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Isaac's at the end of his life. He thinks he's at near the end of his life. He's going to take care of this last bit of business before he dies. He has perhaps 20 more years to live. He's blind here, and that's how it introduces him here. When Isaac was old, his eyes were too dim to see. He's blind in more ways than one in this passage, and so he's going to have a sudden realization, but his blindness is going to play a big part in all of this, in this opportunity for Rebecca to act on behalf of Jacob and then send Jacob into action as well. Isaac had two sons, and one seemed destined for greatness from birth, and it wasn't Jacob. It was the son that came out of the womb first and red and hairy and active and strong, not the one who came out with his hand on the heel. And so he had this very remarkable firstborn child. And then afterward, Esau enjoyed the very kingly activity of hunting to test and refine his prowess in battle. So I sort of imagine Isaac like one of those dads whose son is the athlete that he always wanted to be, you know, and he's sort of obnoxious about pushing him and enjoying everything about him. So Isaac loved everything about Esau, but was blind to whom God was directing the promise in this family toward his much more ordinary and unremarkable looking and seeming son, Jacob. And it is suddenly going to dawn on Isaac in one overwhelming flash of insight. We won't get to that in our part of this chapter. Next time we look at the discovery of this theft. So he talks to his son Isaac, Esau, about the blessing. He says, "I don't know the day of my death." And he wants him to go on this quest in order to present the blessing. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But let me say there was no ordinary blessing in this family. Chapter 26 and verse 12, it says, and this is the chapter that's specially devoted to Isaac. "Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He became rich, continued to go richer until he became very wealthy." And so because Isaac had a blessing of the Lord upon him, he reaped 100-fold yield became greater and greater until it was obvious to all that the Lord was blessing him. Verse 29, they come and make a treaty with him and say, "You are now the blessed of the Lord." Even his enemies recognize that he was blessed of the Lord. And so Isaac talks about this plan to pass on the blessing. The blessing was different from the birthright. Remember, Jacob stole the birthright from Esau with the red stew. And the birthright is a double part of the inheritance. And it normally goes to the oldest. Jacob bargained for it in this way with the red stew when he caught Esau at a weak moment. And so he bargained away the birthright. But actually, it's going to be the blessing that's the most precious possession of this family. And so I think Esau probably wants both, but he wants the blessing even more than he wants the birthright. Two different things. So Isaac has this idea. He's going to send his son hunting to go find game. He enjoys watching his son, you know, that the whole activity of his son. He's blind. Eating is one of the few pleasures that are left to him. And so as he eats the game that his son has caught and prepared, this meal that he loves, he wants it to be in that situation that kind of spontaneously, I think, in this moment, the right words are going to come to him to pronounce this blessing of the Lord. And it's going to be the fitting word, an apple of gold and settings of silver as he pronounces this blessing, this family blessing upon his wonderful son, Esau. And of course, the quest that he sends him on is going to be Esau's undoing. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with this way in which he conceived of blessing Esau. I don't think it says something terrible about Isaac, but it creates this narrow time to deceive a blind man. And the clock is ticking. So this is the opportunity for theft, and now begins the planning for theft. And it begins with Rebekah, verse 5. Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock, bring me 2 choice young goats from there that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death.'" Rachel was listening, maybe listening at the tent door. They lived in tents. So I can picture her doing that. It'd be easy to eavesdrop. And actually, they may not even been trying to hide this from her. She just heard it, it says. Overheard them talking about them. And so she acts on behalf of her favorite in this time. And the clock is ticking. She has a very quick and decisive mind. She has to act fast, think fast, act fast, or else there's going to be disaster. And so she comes to her son, Jacob. She already has a plan in her mind. She explains the situation. She basically explains it with the same word, except she says, instead of Isaac just said, "I'm going to bless you before I die," she says, "He's going to bless you." He said, "I'm going to bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death." And so she makes it even sort of heightened. She understands the importance of this. It's the Lord's blessing that's at stake here. And so she wants it for her favorite son, Jacob. She grasps the whole plan for this at once. And it has to do with Jacob coming in with these meat of goats, these 2 goats that she thinks she can cook up to taste exactly like the game. And so that's the plan. She wants him to go to the flock, bring 2 choice young goats. From there, I'll prepare a savory dish for your father just as he loves. And then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death. Simple plan as it starts out. Here's the, go get the meat. I'll prepare it. Go in there. He'll think you're Esau, and he's going to bless you. Well, Rebekah and Jacob are going to kind of feed off each other, and the plan's going to get a little bit more elaborate. They're going to sharpen and embolden each other as they go here. So verse 11, Jacob answered his mother, "Rebekah, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. So they're sort of propelling each other forward in sin, but Jacob is afraid, and he reminds his mother that Esau is a hairy man. And Jacob knows that his father is blind, and he's going to compensate for bad eyesight by touching, and he's going to pull him close in order to bless him, and he's going to find that Jacob is not a hairy man like Esau, but is smooth of skin. The same can be used for smooth of tongue, and we're going to find that in a bad way for Jacob. But there's a big danger that Jacob is afraid of that he tells his mother about as he tells her this wrinkle, a danger to the plan that he foresees. He says, perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be a mocker in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. So he's afraid the worst thing is going to happen. He's going to be discovered in the midst of this. And his father, instead of blessing him, the blessing that he's about to receive or receives all of it in this way, is going to curse him. And he's going to be cursed by his father for trying to deceive a blind man, trying to dishonor his father in this way. And later laws in the Pentateuch, Leviticus 19, verse 14, this is a good one to remember. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall revere the Lord. I am the Lord. And Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 8. Verse 18. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. And so this is one of the ones that they're reciting to each other, but there's actually a curse for misleading a blind person. And so this is an evil thing that Jacob is doing in misleading his father, taking advantage of him because he is blind, that Rebekah and Jacob are doing. Well, what does he say as he talks about this curse? I'm afraid, I don't know, I don't want to do this. I'm afraid of this curse descending upon me. Verse 13, but his mother said to him, your curse be on me, my son, only obey my voice and go get them for me. And I hardly know what to make or what to say out of what Rebecca says here. It's sort of a mother's love, I guess, to take the curse upon herself. It's not good what she says here, but like many of the Bible characters, she's a person of great force. And so she seals the deal and steals Jacob's nerve by taking the curse upon herself. You might ask, is this kind of a superstitious family? They're so into these words that are going to be said and even said deceptively. But you have to remember how much had been given to this family through spoken words of promise. That was everything for this family. That was their big inheritance, is the Lord gave them words of promise. And then he told them to walk about upon the land. And so they're very keyed in to the Lord's word. And that's actually a good reminder of what it is to walk by faith. And so in one sense, they're on the right path, even in the midst of their confusion and deception. It's not a superstitious thing. They understand they're walking by faith. They're believing in the Lord's promise. They're actually trying to manipulate it at this point. But in one sense, they're on the right path. In Sunday school this morning, it was said about Mary, who put the perfume on the Lord and anointed him for his death, something like she's the Lord's best listener. And that's a good reminder for us too, about hearing and believing the message of the Lord. It's very easy to get distracted from that. So it turns out words do indeed matter very much when they're spoken by the promises of God. In fact, all eternity depends on this, as well as what it means to walk by faith. Well, Rebecca shows that she is the master of improvisation. Verse 14, the plan's going to go into effect. Verse 14, so he went and got them, the goats, brought them to his mother. His mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were in her house, and she put them on Jacob, her younger son. This is getting more elaborate. She took the skins of the young goat. She used the meat for the food. She's got the clothes of Esau on him, and she's going to use the skins of the young goat to put those on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she also gave the savory food and the bread that she had made for her son Jacob. So he's going to smell like Esau. There's a lot about flavor and smell in this story. He's going to feel like Esau with this goat skin upon him, and he's going to have this meal that's ready for him. She's directing the whole play. She's got the whole costume, and it looks as ridiculous as it sounds as he's all set to go in to the room, and all of this is happening quickly. And now we're ready for the heart-pounding scene to put the whole plan into operation. So we've had an opportunity for theft, the planning of theft, it's all come together, and now the execution of the theft. And here Jacob is going to prove himself to be a very calculating risk taker and a bold-faced liar as well, verse 18 and 19. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game that you may bless me." He says he claims to be Esau, and he's a little bit overeager here. "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I'm not your secondborn. I'm your firstborn." Esau reminds him of this as he's begins his deception. Verse 20, Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happened to me." And so he gives maybe kind of a double meaning here. He gives a good answer to explain why he would come back sooner than expected with this meat. He's also perhaps toying with Isaac, saying, "Yeah, the Lord's caused this to come upon me through all this elaborate deception." And so he's bold enough even to take the Lord's name in vain. "The Lord your God has caused it to happen to me," and to think that he's manipulating the Lord as he's playing this whole game with Esau. Well, Esau's suspicion is aroused. In fact, it's aroused already as Isaac is sort of hesitant about this. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you're really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Esau, his father, and he felt him, felt his backs of his hands, his neck where the goatskins was. "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He gets it. He actually, that's it. That's right. That's he's got it. He's figured it out. But he's confused. He doesn't trust his instincts. And so the moment passed, he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and here's how it came about. There's a final question. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And then there's a total lie. "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him, and he ate, and he also brought him wine, and he drank. So he eats the meal. It's all coming about. He's absorbed in it. And here it is. Here is the blessing. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, and here it is. Here it is in the form that Isaac thinks is the perfect fit for this important moment. And it starts out with Jacob's and Rebekah's lie. It starts out with their ruse. "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you." So this is a blessing. It's a personal blessing for Jacob, and it's a blessing for the far future, and actually speaks of the nation that it's the great nation that is in their family, and it's going to go through, he thinks, Esau, but here it is going to go through Jacob. The blessing is fruitfulness and dominion as a gift. And that's the plan for the nation of Israel, and it is abundant. May the God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth. And so it's like the whole universe, the heaven and the earth, the dew and the fatness in the whole universe. And it's given to you as a gift. May God give it to you in abundance of grain and new wine. So that's the fruitfulness and then the dominion. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers. He only has one brother, but I think this could be like relatives, and I think it's really other nations. Be master of your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you. And then curse be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. And so God's plan for the unfolding of history is actually for this nation, the nation that comes through this blessing, through this son, to be elevated to the highest height of prosperity, of dominion, even dominance through the blessing of the Lord. And that's the way in which the whole world is going to be restored to blessing through the unprecedented success of this nation that's going to come through Jacob. And it's ensured at the end by this blessing and threat on anyone who helps, a blessing on anyone who helps, and a curse on anyone who seeks to hinder them. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. And so it's like overflowing blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And that's where we'll stop with the passage. Their plan succeeded. The blessing is pronounced wrongly in Isaac's mind upon Jacob. So Rebecca gets exactly what she wanted. How important is this blessing that's pronounced at this time, mistakenly, by Isaac? Well, the whole hinge of history turns on it. And in a way, the name of God himself turns on this crazy plan that Rebecca just hatched up on the fly and then was bold enough to put it into operation and was able to do it in time. Because one of God's favorite names for himself is not going to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, as Isaac thought it might have been, as he imagined, but it's going to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all because of this deception that was thought up quickly and put into effect. So Jacob and Rebekah's deception perfectly fulfilled God's sovereign plan. He gave at least a hint, more than a hint, at their birth about this, but the deception perfectly fulfilled God's sovereign plan to the last detail. He was sovereign over it all. Did that make it right? No, of course not. Of course that didn't make it right. Rebecca and Jacob debased themselves in this story and their family and their God. And he went through this whole ordeal to steal the blessing that belonged to him anyway. It was his by right. This was the Lord's plan to give it to him. It's what God would have given him anyway, for waiting expectantly, like Isaac did in the previous chapter, where Isaac had learned to wait expectantly for the Lord's blessing, and the Lord had blessed Isaac without Isaac going out and getting it. In fact, Isaac did the very opposite of that. He received those blessings by faith, not by deception, and not even by aggression in any way. The fact that God is sovereign over something doesn't tell you whether it's right and wrong, nor does it tell you even how to respond to it. Well, what then does it tell you, that God is sovereign over this? Because Paul especially, you can understand that point from Genesis. Paul especially makes that in the passage that we read as well, that this was all that God's purpose, his sovereign purpose, might stand. Well, it allows you to rest that he's in control. It tells you also of his character, that what God has blessed will be blessed. And not only does God pronounce a blessing, and that's what this is all about, but he also brings it about. And he's going to bring it about, as we'll see, by making Jacob to be a man of faith who believes in it and who rests in it as well. And that's going to happen through many trials and blessings. And that's what he's doing for you too. He's blessing you, and he's causing you to be a person who walks by faith, by believing in his promise and resting in it. And so if your faith is in Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, and all in him by faith are blessed as well. So if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, keep walking by faith, keep trusting in his unfailing love, and he'll bring blessing, he'll bring even transformation in his time and in his way, even despite our best efforts, despite our best laid plans at times to work against him. And that's our hope in Christ. Our trust is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord is going to have his way with Jacob, and it's the way of blessing. So more about Jacob as we go, and especially more about Esau next time. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that you are the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, and that your grace continued to this family, to this nation. Your grace continues even today where they walk in unbelief, and yet there's a future for this nation. And in the same way, your grace continues towards us. We pray that you might help us to look to you in faith, to walk by faith, and to be transformed by it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.